We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
It's Thursday, February 3rd. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Matt Ford. This is Jeff Schwartz of Smart You, powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. This is typically our wagering episode, but guess what, guys? We're not wagering on the Pro Bowl, so there's not much to wager on this week. So we'll get back to the wagering next week. Luckily or unlucky for the NFL, there's still a lot to talk about. And we will talk about Brian Flores suing the NFL. We will talk about the happenings in the coaching circles. We'll talk about a little Tom Brady, I'd imagine. This show, you know, again, the format's going to be different than usual. But I'm excited because Matt Ford, for the first time, is in the studio in Los Angeles. And he looks wonderful, and I'm glad he has made the move to California. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you, Jeff. I enjoyed legal gambling for a month, and then I had to move right as that coincided. So mixed blessing, but nice to be here. Nice to have like a nice camera setup instead of that windowless room in my apartment that we've seen quite a bit. So good to see you, buddy.
And so far, no construction.
So far.
We don't know. So far, there's no construction noises that seems to haunt you. All right, let's get into the number one story around all of the NFL right now. The Washington Commanders,
yes.
The new football team name. But no, let's start with Brian Flores first, please.
Well, we're getting into a serious topic, but it is kind of remarkable how much is going on in the NFL before Super Bowl week. Like, this is usually a dead week. We've got the Flores thing. We've got the Commanders. We've got the best player of all time just retired. Like, we've got Jimmy Garoppolo maybe getting traded. Like, what the hell is going on? So why don't we start with the serious topic first? And by now, if you're listening to this, you've heard that Brian Flores is suing the NFL for discrimination, and that there's lots of things that he alleged. There's so much to unpack here. Can we maybe just trade some things that stood out to us? What was the thing of the court documents that stood out to you?
Okay, there's many things that stood out to me. We'll kind of maybe go in order of the way the news sort of broke on what happened. So for those who missed it, very brief summary: Brian Flores was fired as the Dolphins head coach. He was then looking for a new head coaching job. I think we all agreed fired prematurely in Miami. He was on the path, it felt like, to building a really good roster and winning. He was fired after 2 years. He went to get another job with the Giants. Bill Belichick, out of all people, sent a text message to Brian Daboll, who did get the head job, instead of Flores. And the text message, the summary of it, was essentially like, "Hey, buddy, heard you're up for the job. It looks like you might get it. You know, congratulations."
Yeah. Heard you landed, right?
Yeah, heard you landed. Congrats. Okay. And then unfortunately, Brian Flores said, you know, this is Brian Flores. And he said, oops, I'm sorry I messed up. And then and went on. Okay. The NFL has a problem with hiring minority coaches. That is not any hyperbole. That's not anything that we don't know. The NFL has a rule that you even have to interview minority coaches just to, because they know they have a problem, right? Obviously, it has not made a difference this coaching cycle. There's one black head coach right now in the NFL, and there's 70% of the league is black. There are serious issues with hiring and firing and what appears to be a different set of standards for wins and losses for coaches that are not white, okay? Those are all valid, and Brian Flores is should be commended for his bravery in doing this, because this might end his coaching career, right? Suing the Giants, yeah, the Broncos, and the NFL for discrimination. There's also the uncomfortable part about, well, is he actually going to win the lawsuit, right, Matt? Like, what does he have to prove the Giants actively discriminate against him because of his race? And I don't have a great answer for that. I would say that that's unlikely to win in court. The Giants interviewed Brian Daboll, informally, by John Mara. And the indications that I have from people I've talked to say that the Giants seriously considered him. The messed up part, and this is 100% the messed up part, is after they had basically decided they wanted Brian Daboll, they made him go through an extensive interview. That's the part that needs to change. And he's rightfully upset about it. It wasn't like, you know, there was an informal discussion with him and John Mara. I'm not sure that counts as an interview, but then they hired a new general manager, and Brian Flores was then interviewed after Brian Daboll, after the second time Brian Daboll got interviewed, was interviewed for what it was, they said 6 hours, I think it was, with no shot of getting the job. No shot of getting the job. That's the part that has to change, right? Because the Rooney Rule requires two interviews of minority candidates, not on your coaching staff. So Pratik Graham, who's on the coaching staff, who interviewed for the Minnesota job, ironically, was interviewed for the Giants job, and he doesn't count. So they interviewed Leslie Frazier, and they interviewed Brian Flores. Essentially, his first official interview was that big, long one, even though the timeline was he did talk to John Mara, the owner of the Giants at some point in kind of the informal discussions of whether or not he'd be a head coach. But my hope is that this brings more light and forces the NFL to change how they hire, Matt.
Yeah, I think it will. I mean, he talked about, I don't know if Brian Flores will win this lawsuit. I don't necessarily think that's his goal. I thought the revelation of these text messages that came out yesterday was really shocking. Like, to see this sort of, like, I think the thing that is really going to rattle fans is seeing this, like, other world happen sort of behind the scenes. That's the thing that's going to piss fans like me off, is seeing this, like, boys club and this, like, sort of other world that's not visible to even us in the media or to the fans, of people sort of communicating and having these agendas and excluding people. That's not a great look. I think that this is going to cause some real change. And a great example, you mentioned Graham, whose name I always keep forgetting, Patrick Graham, the Giants defensive coordinator, who we've had some laughs about on this show. He had a reportedly a 9-hour interview with the Vikings yesterday, and then we're recording this Wednesday, so I guess Tuesday. And then all these reports came out that Jim Harbaugh's flying up there and that the job's his. And here we go. It's like, here we go again. We're going to put this guy through a 9-hour interview when you already know you want Harbaugh. Not only is that unfair to Graham, it's horrible. Like, you're going to put him through that whole process, and then you're going to hire Harbaugh for potentially years. It gets him nothing. It's just, it's such a waste of time. And it could affect something in real time, Jeff. Like, I think that this might have an impact immediately.
It might. The Belichick text is interesting, because there's a question of whether or not it was speculation or whether or not he was told by someone they were hiring Brian Daboll, right? Because when Joe Shane got the job, we all said he was going to hire Brian Daboll or Leslie Frazier.
Sure.
Right? And so, I mean, like, if he hired Frazier or Daboll, oh, makes sense. He's with the Bills. Daboll and Frazier have been with the Bills. Okay, done. So the question is, in that specific text is whether or not it was me and you, like, if I heard you might get a job and I text you about it, is it because I was told by the bosses that you were getting the job or because I just thought you were getting a job because I read the tea leaves? That's a very important question that has to be answered, right? Because that changes what this is, right? Either it's, and again, it could have been a sham interview anyways, but it makes it even more of a sham interview if the Giants told Belichick, which would be odd, told him, hey, we are hiring Brian Daboll. Or whether it was speculation that he just kind of read the tea leaves about, because he said, I heard from, I think in the text, right? I heard from Buffalo and New York, and it seems like you're their guy. That's different than just being told by either one of those sides that he's going to be their guy, right? Do you agree there's a little bit of difference there? And that's very important in determining specifically whether or not the Giants, you know, kind of unfairly allowed Brian Flores to go through this whole interview process without him actually being a serious candidate.
I think you're right. I think even if it sort of works out in a way that is maybe the most or the least unflattering to the Giants, like the problem is still systemic and
100%.
Yeah. So it's I guess I'm agreeing with you. I guess like I don't know. I mean there's so much I want to have fun with the Belichick texts, like the fact that we can
Brian Flores at the end just saying thanks, Bill.
Yeah,
I was like, oh boy. And you know what's interesting about the text too? If Belichick just doesn't answer the Brian Daboll, that could have meant nothing, right? Could have been like he actually like imagine if he didn't answer that text message. Does that change the whole story?
Right. Well, I thought his like, hey, I effed up. Like, I thought that was pretty contrite. You know, like that was.
I'm sure he felt bad about it.
The classic, I made a joke about this on Twitter yesterday. Everyone was like, well, classic Belichick, like always a step ahead. Like, can we stop giving this guy so much credit for everything?
That was a complete mess
Obvious
up. Right? Brian
mistake.
Daboll and Brian Flores were
he confused them. Yeah. He's an old man who's bad at phones. Like, he's not the first.
I think that in this part of the lawsuit, what this does, again, it's to the point that you made earlier and I've made, it's not a probably a winning, quote unquote, winning lawsuit, right? Like if you're going to court of law, are you going to win? But what it does do is it makes all of us talk about it. It makes us all have to acknowledge there's a problem. And it makes the NFL, who knows what the NFL is going to do, change, I guess. I mean, they paid Colin Kaepernick. They're going to have to pay Brian Flores. Do they want to keep paying these players or do they want to just admit they have a problem and figure out a way to fix it?
I know. Well, for anyone who, I mean, there's a lot of different people talking about this conversation about coaches and representation and opportunity in the NFL. I just sort of think about it this way. I would want to pick out Todd Bowles and Raheem Morris, two former head coaches. Leslie Frazier could be another. I just am not quite as prepared on him. Former coaches that have not gotten that other chance. And you look at the list of coaches around the NFL head coaches, and so many of them are sort of these, like, the term used to be like retreads. Like, I think of like North Turner and like Wade Phillips and these coaches that would just keep getting jobs. But it's crazy to me that Raheem Morris has just never had another head coaching job, right? He got that head coaching job in his early 30s, I think. He was on a weird team with Josh Freeman, and like the Bucks were like kind of a frisky team. And then he's just bounced around from coordinator to coordinator job. And it just sort of seems like people have just sort of said like, well, he had a head coaching job. It didn't work out. We're done. It's like, imagine if someone said that about Bill Belichick or Andy Reid or Pete Carroll or Bruce Arians. Like there's been lots of Mike McCarthy. Like there's all of these white coaches who have gotten a second chance and the benefit of the doubt. And it feels like there's this sort of barrier for some of these coaches like Morris. Like Bowles, who, you know, won a Super Bowl last year, leading a historically good run defense, that I think that to me has really, that's something I just keep thinking about.
Yeah. Eric Bieniemy, right? Four straight years, the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs. No, you're absolutely right. And the NFL is going to have to confront these issues, whether they want to, whether they want to do it in court. I don't think they do. But now, again, we're all talking about this. And because it's the week before the Super Bowl, there's nothing else to talk about right now. And this can be talked about. Now, I don't have a solution, Matt. I don't know what the solution should be. I really don't. Should you be forced to hire candidates you don't feel are ready for the job? No. But you also can't treat them like David Culley, right? And I know he signed on that job probably knowing that he was just there for 1 year. But still, I mean, he coached his butt off. That team, what, in four games, five games, ugly Houston Texans
team? We bet on them every week.
Yeah, I know. Oh, geez. And, you know, Brian Flores mentioned
some regrets on that front.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Brian Flores mentioned in the lawsuit, too, like, you know, Steve Wilks in Arizona, right? Had one year, was a bad year, fired him. And then Kingsbury, Vance who was not qualified at all to have that job, ended up taking the job. So there's issues there. I commend Flores again. I mean, he's probably giving up his career for this. And he still, courageous. I think, had been an interview, went on a couple interviews. He's still interviewing, I believe. So maybe he doesn't, but he went on, you know, Get Up this morning at CBS Morning News. I mean, this is could be a career ender, but if it brings change, then obviously it's very worth it. I commend Brian Flores. He's young, too. So to give this up like this is it's pretty tough to do. Of course, I mean, he'd be fine. I think he'd find a job in college football, maybe as a coordinator in the NFL. But a head coach, I hope he didn't throw away his opportunity for this, but it's a very important cause. All right, the other part of this allegations that I think might cause the most immediate change in the NFL. He alleged that the Dolphins owner, Stephen Ross, offered him $100,000 per game he lost to tank for Joe Burrow. Matt, that's immediate sale of the team and you're out of there as NFL owner. I mean, we talk a lot about gambling. Wow. Oh, yeah. We talk a lot about gambling proliferating itself through sports, which we love. We gamble on everything, right? I mean, we were texting before the Chiefs game about what to do. I'm sure we lost all our money because none of our bets ever hit in that game. You know, you're offering a coach. We talk about tanking too, right? Like, the tanking happens. But you're offering a coach money to lose a game. To throw a game. You're asking him to essentially throw a game for $100,000. I'm glad Brian Flores didn't do it. They won a bunch of games, 2019 and 2020. They were the fifth pick overall, though. It wasn't like it was the year afterwards. Well, it wasn't the Tua year, right? It was the year, it would have been, no, same year. Yeah, Burrow Tua.
It was.
They tried to get Burrow, obviously. I think if this was proven to be correct, Stephen Ross has to sell his team. There's no way around it.
Wow. So it also broke today that this Hugh Jackson corroborated this story too in Cleveland and said that he was offered some money potentially to throw some of those games too. So maybe
Browns,
this is like
the Browns owner's doing that. All the jokes are there, right? Like that, you know, he's a billionaire if he took that offer from the Browns. But if these are proven to be true, the owners that have offered to pay their coaches to lose are no longer going to be NFL owners. It's that simple. Talk about integrity of the game, all that. I mean, dude, you're paying teams. I'm fine with tanking, but you tank. I've told this many times, right? You tank Monday through Saturday by your roster decisions, by personnel decisions. You don't tank on game day. Everyone plays hard on game day, except obviously like the second half of that Eagles game 2 years ago, when everyone was all pissed about. But nonetheless,
go like, Commanders.
You're offering, You're offering money to purpose, and then let's say that they went 2-14. Are you firing Brian Flores for that record? Are you keeping him?
Maybe. I mean, to sort of couple with that, I mean, Flores alleged that the reason that he was called difficult was because he wouldn't go illegally tamper with who we all think now is Tom Brady, who Ross invited onto his yacht, like coincidentally at the same time he was like becoming a free agent potentially, and Flores would be there. It's just a mess. And I think that, like, you know, we kind of all joke about it as fans, and like I think as fans and even media people, we kind of know there's like way more to what's going on behind the scenes than the NFL would want us to know. But, you know, how does Belichick know from the Giants that they're going to hire Dable? He even says, like, I heard from the Giants and the Bills. And then Ross is saying, come tamper. It's just so insane to me that all of this is happening.
So, back to the Bill thing very quickly. So did the Giants, did John Mara call Belichick? Like, who told Belichick?
And he says it's from the teams. And it's like, is he talking to the Bills? Like the Bills are his rival. Like, how does he know it from them? Like, that's just so strange.
That's why, again, that's very important to discern if he was just speculating or whether he was told. But nonetheless, I mean, this would be an episode for Gabe too, because Gabe thinks the NFL is a cabal, right? So he's all, this like, it proves everything, and it might. But Brian Flores did not, it was Tom Brady, by the way. They confirmed it. That was Tom Brady. But, you know, Brian Flores didn't go along with it. And it now makes me question whether or not all these stories about him being difficult are because he refused to go along with tampering and game fixing, or whether he's just kind of the Belichick guy that we find is kind of sent in all be assholes. But I that to me, look, obviously the Rooney Rule and the minority hiring is a huge part of this, right? And it might take years for that to change. And I don't know, and I don't even know if the NFL is going to try to change it. And I don't know who could push them to do it, honestly. Who's making them change? But I'll tell you what, if Congress gets involved with ownership paying, offering, of course. I mean, is it a crime to offer someone drugs if they don't buy it? I guess. I don't know. Is it? Like, if I offered you, but you didn't buy any from it, do I get in trouble for that? I don't know. But dude, this is a big deal.
It's huge.
He would have to, there's no doubt about it. Steven Ross would have to sell his team if this is proven to be true. Jimmy Haslam and all sell their teams, 100%.
Well, I think there's a few hires when you sort of look back. Like, you mentioned David Culley already. David Culley was there to blow this season. It's so obvious. Like, when you look at it in context and you're like, okay, they hire this guy who has no head coaching buzz, who no one's going to get attached to because he's not like, some media guy. The team's going to suck. Like, they're going to fire him after one season. We already said they played hard. They were a fun team to bet on. Davis Mills, like, really grew this season. I think you could argue that team was headed in the right direction on the field, not roster wise. And it's clear that he just went there to take a fall. And there's others who just like have never been put in the right spot. And I think that there's something sinister there about like what trying to win actually means and how people think about their hires. Like, this story is going to be gigantic. We don't know what the impact is going to be. I think that there are going to be owners who are in real trouble. I think that there are going to be lots of stories about, how people tried to tank. And I think we're just going to like find little things in the last couple of years where we're like, that's why that happened. This is going to be a big, big problem for the NFL. It's not good that it broke right before the Super Bowl.
Now, again, like I do wonder whether or not there's proof of all this stuff, right? Because you have to, in the NFL, I assume we'll investigate, Matt. I'm not certain on that, unfortunately. But I have to imagine that if there's proof of any of this, those owners are gone right away. And the Giants, obviously, if there's proof that they told Belichick beforehand they were hiring Brian Daboll,
that's tampering. Why would they be talking to the coach of the Patriots? Strange.
It doesn't make much sense from that angle. I'm with you there. Like, why would they? There's no reason for them to talk to Bill Belichick. Which I'm so confused on like why would Belichick know about this stuff? Why would you tell Belichick?
His direct quote from his text: "I hear from Buffalo and New York Giants that you are their guy. Hope it works out if you wanted to." So it could just be like, hey, we like this guy. He's at the top of our list. What do you think? And that's still probably like not cool based on what tampering is.
I mean, I guess it's possible they could have called him in exploratory fashion. Like, hey, man, you coach with Daboll. What do you think about him? I mean, I guess that's possible.
It's possible. But why would they ask the coach of another team who they are either division rivals or in the Super Bowl? It's just so strange.
Yeah, but I'd imagine that there's talk that they call they reference other coaches when they hire people.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm sure Sean McDermott was called. You think Sean McDermott was asked about Brian Daboll?
References, yeah.
I mean, Joe Shane already knows who he is. I don't know if that's the best example, but I guess in that perspective, I wouldn't be surprised if that's what happened. But again, are they telling him like, hey man, we're hiring him, or he's our favorite, or whatnot? Because I get being a favorite. I get, if he's their favorite, but, but then bringing Brian Flores in for a 6-hour interview after you've already basically decided to hire someone is a bunch of BS. Just to meet a quota, right? That's all it was, just to meet a quota. And that tells you right there, there's problems in the NFL with how they hire minority coaches.
And it seems like Hugh Jackson, as we're talking, is saying that he can corroborate Flores, and there's going to be more to that story. Man, I guess we should leave it there for now, and maybe should we move on to the greatest football player of all time retiring, or should we hit the Commanders, one of the biggest stories in the league in the last few years? You choose.
Let's wrap up the Tom Brady story that we talked a little bit about on Tuesday's show.
Yeah, so he's via 100-part Instagram story is officially retiring. He had an interesting snub of Patriots fans at first. He's sort of come around on that. I'm just curious if you're reading anything in the tea leaves of how he retired and if this is truly the end.
I think it truly is the end. I think that he didn't mention the Patriots. He retired from the Buccaneers, not the Patriots. He's already thanked the Patriots.
Yes. Yeah, and the Patriots said goodbye to him, and he was clearly still very good. Yeah. There's that.
So, who cares? I mean, Patriots fans, dude, are sensitive about this. It's like, he didn't mention you. All right. Move it along, Patriots fans. I talked about this Tuesday, and I think that reading, I could not read all 8 of those slots on Instagram, but reading most of it was, you know, I think he retired, as I mentioned on the show, just kind of at the top of his game. Not a lot of us get to do that. And he gets to walk off the field healthy and happy and fulfilled instead of walking off the field in a cart or in a sling on his arm. And it's very important to him. And I think that it makes sense for him to do it now. He's accomplished everything. He went to Tampa and won a Super Bowl in 2 years. Really, the first year, obviously, but one in 2 years. It's an incredible run he had. There's no reason to prolong it if you don't want to play anymore. If you can't give 100%, be done with it. It's very clear that this was leaked out via whoever was producing his Man in the Arena show, because they delayed that last episode. And I think 1,000%, Matt, whoever filmed that told Jarrington or told Schefter, this is what was on that video. And that's how this came out.
That's an interesting take. I didn't realize that show was still on.
It was one more, whatever show he's doing, there's one more episode left in that they delayed putting out. And everyone assumes that's where this story came from.
It seemed like people who knew things knew that this was going to be the end. And it just sort of, it happens really suddenly. I think he should have left last year if he knew that this was going to be his final year. Like, a lot can go wrong. It's really hard to repeat. I think if he left on the high note of winning a Super Bowl, that it probably would have been better for his overall, you know, legacy. Like, you know, leaving on a loss to the Rams is probably not exactly how he drew it up, but I don't think there's any like wiggle room. I don't think it's like, oh, he's gonna come back. He didn't say he was retiring in his thing. Like, he's done. It's time. I don't know. End of an era.
It is end of an era, and the NFL's in a good spot. NFL's in a good spot.
It is. All right, let's quickly hit the Commanders. Your name on the unnamed video client that we're using to speak to each other, your name is Hail to the Commies. I don't know, Jeff, what do you think of this? What do you think of this name?
The worst part is the uniforms, but that black uniform, John Allen looks so upset with himself. He's like, he just looks so miserable. Oh, looks miserable. Oh. What do you think? You're the Washington football fan.
I am. The only hope I had for this, I had two hopes. One, that it would just end. Like, for talking about the name for this long, it's the name of a team. Have you ever thought about the name Seahawks? Have you ever thought about the name Texans? Like, no. Name just doesn't matter. So I just wanted this to end. I'm glad that, you know, today, the second when we're taping this, it's over. Great. The only other thing that I hoped for was not for a calamity, like a disaster, a train wreck of an unveiling. And that's exactly what happened. Joe Theismann like accidentally said it. A news helicopter flew over the stadium last night and showed a picture of the new Commanders logo. It's this team is just they're such amateurs, man. Like, they can't get anything right. Like, this is a thing where they should win the day or at least generate some conversation. Obviously, big week in the NFL, but I'm just like, they just can't get anything right. And the fact that they can't even get their name announcement right does not bode well for the on-field product. I'll tell you that.
I mean, they announced this the week Tom Brady retired and Brian Flores laid down like one of the most influential lawsuits in like the history of sports. And then they and then of course, you know, the helicopter got the Commanders logo last night because they just didn't black out the team store, I guess, whatever that was. There were a much better choices than Commanders. I mean, football team wasn't great. It just left the football.
Well, it's funny now how in our office today, people were like, I kind of like the football team. It's like people get used to stuff. Like in 2 years, like we won't be thinking about this stupid name again. But the problem is this organization is just so incompetent top to bottom. I think the only thing that they really screwed up here is you've got to have a lot of the history. You have to like straddle the line of honoring the history of the team, but sort of like acknowledging that you had this mistake with the name and the big change. Like what the fight song of this team is like the thing that all of the fans really love. The hail to what used to be hail to the Redskins.
Yes.
What do you do now? Hail to the Commanders? Like that doesn't work. Like what are we doing?
Hail to the Commanders.
I was like one of the first songs I learned, Jeff, back in the day. Now I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah. At least your kid will grow up rooting for the Commanders, I guess, the Commies.
Yeah, or maybe the Rams. We'll see.
I know. Are you going to jump on games bandwagons, LA teams in total? Just you become the biggest USC fan all of a sudden?
I'm going to read an actual text from my wife that I got when she woke up today, a little after I did, because we had an early taping. She said, Commanders? ? And then I didn't respond for a while, and she wrote, we are Rams fans now, FYI.
you've been in town
2 days.
And I mean, look at you. Your luck has been, you missed an entire snowstorm. And you're in LA and it's got to be 70 today, right?
I would imagine. I caught the snowstorm. My last day in New York, I fell on some ice and landed on my elbow. And we had just been talking about like, we haven't gotten like, you know, a proper goodbye to New York. And I was like, actually, this is a proper goodbye. Like almost break my elbow falling on some ice. And no one even like looks up and is like, are you okay, dude? Like no one gives a shit. It's you just keep moving.
I have a protuberous on my elbow. Is that
my bone is Michael sticking Scott's out of my arm. Are we good?
Yeah. You can walk out the studio now, and I think you'd smell the ocean. I think you're close. Aren't you close enough to smell the ocean?
I can definitely smell the oil refinery here in El Segundo, but the ocean is not far. Hopefully, we'll get you in here so you can tape with us.
I've been there. No, I've been there. I mean, if you drive down the 405 South, there's a bunch of refineries.
Yes.
People don't realize that as you get kind of
right
down
next to the
South
beach.
Bay.
Yeah. Very weird.
Yeah, next to the beach. So, so we have a Commanders team. We have Washington.
Hail to the Commanders.
Yeah. So, are you going to go buy yourself a Commanders shirt?
I will not buy any more gear while Dan Snyder owns the team, but you know, maybe he hired Jim Zorn so that he could tank, because that would be the only ostensible reason that hire ever happened. Maybe he'll have to sell the team, or maybe the other active investigation into the Washington team that's going to Congress tomorrow will have some impact. We'll see.
I like that shirt I sent you for PFT though, with the football holding the football. I think you have to buy that one.
I just hope that we don't all have to go commando to support this team. That would be a disaster. Why don't we talk about a team, the opposite of the Commanders, which is two good teams that are in the Super Bowl. It's a little bit too early to start making some predictions or anything like that. But there's been some line movement that we should discuss. I want to sort of feel you out here. It opened at Rams 3.5, which I found pretty interesting. Felt a little bit low considering that they're playing at home. Went up to 4.5 because a lot of money came in quickly on the Rams. Then people bought it back to the Bengals. Now it's just at 4. We've got 48.5 is the total, the latest total. Anything stand out to you? I don't want to spoil any of our picks, but I'm just curious what you make of that number and first impressions.
I'm not surprised the under is getting hammered. You look at both these offenses. I'll just say this. I keep going back to this, Matt, is I don't know how the Bengals did this. There's not a great reason. And the Rams are better. it's just the Bengals keep winning these games, Matt, and you bet against kind of the way they're playing, the vibe with the Bengals, which is we're in every game, we're not scared, we're going to come back, we'll find ways to get it done at the end. Or do you bet on the better team, which is the Rams? And simply in the Super Bowl, teams have, what, won and covered, right? A lot, at least the last couple of years, right? They've won and covered. The Rams are better almost everywhere. Guys, Matt Stafford has played better than Joe Burrow in the playoffs. That's not even a debatable fact. I'm not saying Joe Burrow, of course, couldn't play better in this game. The Bengals have played one defense in the top 10 all season. They played one defense that finished 11th, which is the Browns. They went 0-3. Now, one of those games, obviously, the starters didn't play. But, okay, 0-2, averaged 19 points a game in those ones. That's the way I look at this. A couple of props I saw very, very early. I actually like Joe Burrow overpassing and Mixon underpassing, and I'll explain why. Do you know how many yards Burrow had passing against Tennessee?
It wasn't very many.
No, it was actually the opposite.
Oh, it was a ton?
340,
huh?
I believe.
Damn.
I'm going to make sure I have that right. But do you
want
to know
why? With the 9 sacks, that's pretty insane.
Well, okay. So do you know why he had so many yards passing?
Because the Titans suck and we should never have bet on them because they were bound to murder us the first second we believed in them. Is that why?
348 yards passing. Here's why. Because the sacks push you back, and then that yard is not negative on Burrow.
True.
It's on team passing. So if it's 1st and 10 and you, let's say you get 5 yards, 2nd and 5, you have a 10-yard sack and get a first down, that's 20 yards. 20 yards of passing, and literally 10 yards really of moving of the ball, right? I mean, obviously, you get what I'm saying, right? Like, when you start the down, you think you're getting 10 yards, you actually get 20. That's why, I think. And I think the same is going to happen this game. He'll be sacked a bunch, and he'll make it back up in his passing numbers. That's a unique way to look at it. I think that's – and I think Joe Mixon under is a way to go on the Bengals side, at least very early right now.
I mean – that's a nice way to play it. I'm interested in first quarter, first half stuff. I think the Rams, in the many mysteries of why the Bengals are in the Super Bowl, like, I have never been a huge Zach Taylor fan. I don't think that he's got like a great coaching edge or an elite coaching staff by any means. Sean McVay is going to come out firing. I think especially after coming out so cold in his previous Super Bowl. He's going to be great on scripted plays in the beginning. I think the Rams are not going to be afraid of this moment at all and come out probably and take the lead. I think the Bengals are going to be playing from behind pretty quickly, and that could get ugly. I agree. My first instinct was I like the Rams at 3.5. I liked, you know, I like the Rams team obviously better because I don't think that it's really – I think it's a little underrated – how surprising it is that the Bengals are here. Joe Burrow's amazing. They have one elite connection on offense with Burrow to Chase, and then they have Hendrickson. And then it's like, you look at these guys making plays for them, and it's Samaje Perine, who got cut by Washington. You got Eli Apple, who couldn't find a home in the league for, I mean, how long? Like 8 years? And he's stopping Tyreek Hill at the goal line. It's like, this makes no sense. And at some point, it's going to backfire. Like, at some point, they're going to get overmatched, but it just hasn't happened yet. So it's like, do you defy reason one more time and take the Bengals? Or do you just assume that at some point it's going to catch them? It's a strange thing.
So I guess at some point I'd say the luck runs out this game. Like, I just can't imagine this luck continuing. But again, that's why I lean heavy Rams here.
Yeah,
I think
the Chiefs in Kansas City. Like, what is this team? Like, maybe we're just wrong.
Yeah, we are. I think that the way to make – well, I mean, I have been wrong about this team, right? I think one way to play this too, Matt, is like, you wait till kickoff, and you know there's going to be a lot of money in the Bengals, I think, on near kickoff just because this number keeps going up. And you just bet the Rams money line at a better number near kickoff.
Yeah, well, if – yeah, I don't know. I haven't decided yet. I'm curious. I will say, though, that the straight up winner usually covers. So if whichever side you like, don't take the, you know, if you're interested in the Bengals to cover, they probably will also win, I guess, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that's something to note. I haven't really dived deep into the props yet, but you know that I am going to next week ask you about the Jeff Schwartz special. The Bengals are wearing black uniforms. The Rams will be wearing white. That will play into one of the props that I love to ask Jeff about every year next week.
I know. The Bengals, should have worn – if I were them, I would have worn the whites, because you won two straight games in the whites. Just keep it rolling in the whites.
Yeah, it's that's a good point. Yeah, although they will look slick with those black unis, I guess, right?
Or just go like straight orange.
Yeah.
Just go orange ones.
So, yeah, I don't know. We'll dive deep into the props next week. We'll give you an official pick. There's some last things here I wanted to ask about. I guess why don't we play a little over under, which is a game I usually don't get to play with you.
Okay, let's do it.
So why don't we start with this one? This really does belong to Gabe here. Over under 11.5 wins next year for USC and Caleb Williams.
Oh, Jesus Christ. We're doing this already. We're doing this, guys. This Trojans had 4 wins last season. Okay, you don't win 4 games because you're a loaded roster. You win 4 games because you suck and you don't develop talent. They have no offensive defense alignment. Like, yeah, they have a great – if they play a 7-on-7, they'd win 11 games. They're going to win 8 or 9 games next year. They play a weak schedule, which helps them. But they go to Utah. They play Notre Dame. They might have a Pac-12 title game. Arizona's a little feisty right now as well. They're getting a little bit better. I think they win 8 or 9 games. And I think year 2 is the year you shoot at for a possible playoff berth.
Interesting. I'm eyeing possible Commanders fit for Drake London. I feel like he might be a nice fit.
Like I am 100. I'll tell you right now. It is recording to February 2nd. I will wager on the under win total for USC next season.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I really love that. We'll save that one for Gabe, who will probably take the other side of you there. Hey, speaking of top 10 picks. I want a prediction now. There was a story this week about Kenny Pickett and his hand size and then Joe Burrow's hand size. That tweet from a few years ago came up where he was like, oh, maybe I should retire because of my little tiny football hands. I want a prediction right now. How many quarterbacks taken in the top 10 of this year's draft? Let's set the over-under at 2.5.
Have you noticed today, too, that I don't know how much you read the Senior Bowl tweets, but like it is heavy into like Kenny Pickett has kind of Joe Burrow feel. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, we're going to just do this every time there's a quarterback coming off like one great season. I will say under 2.5.
Okay. Top 5 over under 1.5.
Unless someone's trading up. I don't know. I don't know. I would say I'd take the under. I'd take 1 in the top 5.
I think the Giants, I think there are going to be at least 3 in the top 10 because this is what happens every single year. We never see it coming. Everyone acts surprised. If there's something you can bet on, hammer it. Like, it's going to happen. The Jags will be best served trading out. We've talked about that already. I don't know. I just think that there just aren't enough players to enough quarterbacks to go around, and it's just going to happen again.
We'll find out. A very quick aside before we get to the final one here. Ian Rappaport tweets out, according to Fanatics, since launching the Commanders team name, they're the top selling jersey overall across all sports on Fanatics.
Interesting.
Terry McLaurin and Chase Young burgundy jerseys are both in the top 5 ahead of Tom Brady's red Bucks jersey.
Huh. Man, I mean, Washington doesn't have a whole lot to cheer about, but McLaurin and Chase Young are very nice building blocks.
Yes.
What do you want to do? You want to do a prop bet, or do you want to do Jimmy G for our last over-under here?
I mean, the prop bet, I don't even know who this person is.
Yeah, why don't we do some of that? Why don't we both Google who Mickey Guyton is?
I don't know. Are we that old, Matt?
Mickey Guyton I wonder if my kids
know.
American country music artist. She's 38, incorporates country and R&B.
I legit have no idea.
I have no clue here.
I've never seen this person in my entire life before.
No. So the over-under is 145. Everyone always loves to bet the over here, like most overs. Her last two were 123 and 131. That's pretty interesting. Last couple years, we had Sullivan and Church last year went way over by 18 seconds. Lovato went under. 19, Gladys Knight went over. Pink went under. A little bit of a back and forth here. I'm curious. Do you think in a big spot where she's introducing herself to us, she's really going to lean into it, or do you think she's going to get in and get out?
Most singers that like I've never heard of before are typically are young. She's older than us. She's 38.
That's right. She's younger than Gabe, though.
I have never. So her songs "Better Than You Left Me." I'm on YouTube. I'm seeing which ones have the most views. "Better Than You Left Me," "Heaven Down Here," looks like has a there's a performance from the Grammys. "Black Like Me." There's a "Love My Hair," "All American." I have no idea. I mean, is this bad? Like, should we know who this is? I mean, are we behind? Are we just old geezers now?
I mean, we know who the halftime performers are. We've heard of course, Mary J. Blige and Snoop Dogg. Like, that's where we're okay.
That's going to be the best halftime show ever. I said something the other day that people got very upset about. I don't think you're a fan of hip-hop or R&B. I am West Coast hip-hop, actually, but go on.
Okay,
California Love is like the 11th best song on that album, on All Eyes on Me. And it's like, everyone loves that song.
That's
it's
generous.
Like, it's not even that good. What's this discussion about? It's like the 11th best song on side one. Like, it's not even, I skip it over when I listen to the album.
Over under 11 songs better on All Eyes on Me. Let's do a quick draft of these songs and then let's get out of here.
I can write 11 that are better, but go ahead.
Okay, so that's right. This is a two-sided album.
Yeah.
Why don't you take the first pick?
My favorite song on that?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I rotate depending on what my attitude at the gym is. Can't See Me.
Okay, that's fair. I'm going Picture Me Rolling number one for sure.
Okay.
Definitely.
And then, I mean, look at All Eyes on Me, obviously, was like one of my favorite to like warm up to in a football game.
Yep. That's a good one. I'm going to take, let's just do one more each. I will take Ambitions as a Ride at number two. I'm a big fan of that.
Like, my wife, like, when Thug's Passion comes on, dude, she's like, the house goes wild. I'm not even looking at the album list. Like, got my mind made up. Like, I mean, come on. Like, they're all better than California Love. What are we doing?
How Do You Want It? Like, classic banger right there. I should have picked that one number one. I do love Picture Me Rolling, though.
Like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing with, it's not at all California Love.
I completely agree. Although you're going to be hearing a lot of that during the Super Bowl, I'm sure.
Oh, it's 100% going to be the. It's the first song probably. Oh, you know which one I forgot? I'm like actually looking at it now. I like Trade and War Stories. There's the 11 songs, the 11 songs between 1 and 11, and California Love is 12 are all better than California Love. It's not even questionable.
All About You, great song. Hearts of Men, underrated song. Big
Only
fan
God
of
Can
that
Judge
one.
Me. Like, come on, man.
Classic.
I mean, Two of America's Most Wanted is far better than California Love, in my opinion.
Yeah, this album is stacked. What are we doing? I didn't expect that we'd make it into a Tupac draft in the 40th minute of our show.
That's
but
funny.
Here
I,
we are.
I did all those off the top of my head, and now I'm looking at the album list. I even forgot about I'm gonna go listen to this in the car when I pick my kids up right now.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Just like as loud as possible. So come on, everybody. California Love will be played though. What song does Mary play though? I don't know. I'm curious. What song she's going to play first?
Oh man,
so many. My wife is so excited for this halftime show too. So we'll see. It'd be a great halftime show. But Mickey Guyton, I'm gonna go listen to Mickey Guyton too as soon as we get off. Maybe I know one of her songs. So. All right, we've gone way too much into music. No one comes to this podcast to hear me wax about All Eyes on Me or Mickey Guyton, but here we are. All right, guys, we'll be back next week with our normal Monday episode. And then And then we will do our wagering episode. And then that's it, Super Bowl. Then we'll have a post game. We'll be in studio for probably a couple of those next week as well. And all right, guys, have a great weekend. We're powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. Talk to you guys next week.